Now, I've heard wonderful things of our studio guest tonight, with great reports from last night's concert with throat singers Al Ash in Bradford. If you heard them, you could tweet us at BBC Radio 3 with the World on 3 hashtag. So the session, anyway, will be a don't miss, and they'll also be bringing their heritage track that has, likewise, a blues connection via a remarkable story concerning their own musical guru. Our Tuvan guests coming up very shortly with the first of tonight's live music here in the studio. Al Ash will be performing that amazing style of overtone music that we know as throat singing, and it'd be rather exciting to see and hear it up close and personal for you. You're listening to Marianne Kennedy and World on 3, live from Broadcasting House in London, where we're all set now for the first songs from our session guests tonight, who are Al Ash, a trio of master throat singers from the tiny Central Asian Republic of Tuva. This amazing form of singing must surely be their greatest export, and we're delighted to welcome Al Ash, currently on a short UK tour, although in truth it's the final length of a final part of a 10-week tour that's taken them to the States, and they're feeling that like they've been away a long time. They're making ready to be home, so I think we're going to get the last great flourish from them tonight. They take their name, Al Ash, from the name that, of the river that runs through the northwest of the country, and that in itself has inspired songs. They take their music from the community they grew up in, honed through basement rehearsals at music college, and blended with Western influences such as Sun Ra and Jimi Hendrix. Although tonight's set, I believe, is fairly stripped back and rootsy. And they're going to start out with a song about, well, if they were gales, it would be Adi Saudi, the summer pastures. Tuvan herders move with their animals according to the season. Winter is cold, summer is very hot. And so in summer, the animals are taken high up into the mountains where it's much cooler, where they can rest and restore themselves after a long winter. This is Odar Ladib Simardili.
Yeah.
Special is that the Tuvan trio Alash playing live for us here on World on 3, and I'm joined here by their manager Sean Quick, who's going to be translating for the lads. And Sean, you were explaining to me that a livestock in terms of the animals they'd be taking up to the high pasture as described in that song, it's not just cattle and sheep and the usual, it's huge variety.
Yeah, depending on what part of Tuva you're in, it's only about the size of England and Wales put together, but in this relatively small geographical area, we have, in addition to goats, sheep, horses, and cows in the west, we have yaks. In the south, down near the Mongolian border, people herd camels traditionally. And in the northeast, there's an area called Toju where people herd reindeer. So in Tuva, we would say Tostuzu Malam, which means the nine different kinds of animals traditionally herded by Tuvans.
Now, it's such an evocative sound. It's just beautiful. We're going to find out a little bit more about that through yourself. But first of all, would you introduce us to the band?
Yes, this afternoon, this evening, we are joined by Ayanol Sam, Badi Dorju Ondar, and Ayan Shirajik. All of them are award-winning top-flight musicians of Tuva.
And if people check out the Twitter feed at BBC Radio 3, you'll be able to see some of the pictures of the amazing instruments that they have there. There's a Western guitar, but everything else is Tuvan. And of course, how important animals are in the overall culture. There's the horse heads in the instruments. Would you just describe a little bit about the what's accompanying the songs?
Yes, in addition to the Western guitar, we heard a flute called a shor, which is a very special flute. Some people might consider it similar to a Persian or Turkish ney, for instance. It just doesn't have the little flange on top. It's a very common flute found throughout Central Asia. And then the bowed instrument that you heard is one that's very close to the heart of the Tuvan people. As you mentioned, it's got a horse's head carved on the top of this. It signifies the unity between people and horses that exist in Tuva. It's very hard to be a nomad without horses, and Tuvan people value horses very greatly. There's a great legend that tells of the story of an orphan boy who rescues this horse from death, and eventually they win all these horse races. The horse gets killed in a tragic way, but the spirit of the horse comes back to the boy and teaches him to make the instrument using actually parts hair from the mane and skin from the horse, so actually physically using parts of the horse to make the instrument and thereby incarnating the spirit of the horse into the instrument. So it's a very meaningful instrument for Tuvan people, and one that, although simple when you look at it, it's only got two strings, it is capable of amazing range of musical expression.
And of course, that most amazing thing of all, the singing, the very bassy sound with those amazing whistling overtones. Can you explain how it happens? Because you speak, I'm told, very, very excellent Tuvan. You've been over there for 10 years and you've studied that as well. So you know what it is to come from not doing it to doing it. So you must understand something of the process.
Yes, it's been my privilege to be the only foreign-born member of the Tuvan National Orchestra since 2004. And so I've had the opportunity to learn from Alash and other members of the National Orchestra and many legends of Tuvan music. So I've learned a lot about it, and I will tell you that there is a great variety of styles. There's a massive range for musical expression and subtlety within them. Musicians themselves don't really parse out how many different styles or necessarily what they're called. That's something that musicologists spend their time with. But you will hear throughout this program a very very large number of different ways of producing multiple notes at the same time, which we call in English overtone singing or throat singing. Of course, the unfortunate thing about that is it tends to group this music into a whole lot of disparate traditions that aren't necessarily doing the same thing. For instance, there's women from South Africa, women from far, far North America that also practice traditions that emphasize the use of overtones. In Tuvan, however, as you're hearing, this is a whole different animal. And basically, in a very, very short way, how you do it is due to the nature of sound. Sound, whenever you produce a musical sound, there are actually lots of notes there. But the Tuvan musicians know how to squeeze their throats in the right way, how to create the right conditions to subtract the sounds that they don't want and to emphasize the sounds that they do.
Well, we must hear it again in yes. action. Would you tell me about the next song, please?
The next song is one that gives us a little bit of the poetry of the Tuvan language. Being a nomadic people, the life of Tuva is intimately connected with landscape and place. When you speak Tuvan, you learn that places in nature are referred to anthropomorphically. For instance, mountains have heads, they have hems of their dresses, hearts, etc. And this song speaks about two rivers whose courses go in parallel. And the poet who wrote the song speaks of these two rivers as two sisters walking hand in hand. And the grasses and the grains that grow on the banks of the rivers and wave in the wind are like the embroidered ornaments of the flowing dresses of the two sister rivers called Khojoy and Torgalek. Thank you.
Exquisite. Thanks a million to Alash. They're back a little later on here on World on 3, and they'll also be introducing their heritage track, which this week is in tribute to the man they regard as their musical father. It's really busy on Twitter tonight as well. It's lovely to see so many of you favouriting and retweeting, especially the mentions of Alash on the programme. So it's the perfect point to ask them to introduce Alash's heritage track for this evening. A song or a piece of music from our session guests that means something special to them from their own background, upbringing, influences, inspirations. And tonight, for Alash, this track might just be a wee bit of all of the above. And Baddie and Sean, I did see when the Stones track was going out there, the ears pricked up straight away. And I know that they were paying attention to the news about Bibi this morning as well.
So we've
like to join the world in expressing our sadness at the loss of such a great musician who's meant so much to so many people in the world. We recognize and appreciate the great contributions that he's done, and so we'd like to join everywhere in the world tonight in expressing our sadness at the loss of such a fine musician.
And you've brought a very special piece of music with an extraordinary story behind it from a man who in your own homeland has made an extraordinary contribution. Tell me about the Genghis Blues story, but also the man behind who also, I suppose, is your musical father.
So the reason that we've picked this track is because our teacher, Conger Roll, we see him as our musical father. He's the one who opened the road of music and set our feet on that path. So we chose that for that reason. The influence has been great in our musical lives.
I should say it's a real challenge in live radio to have translation going on, but we really want to hear this particular story coming from Baddie, because it is your heritage track. Tell us about the relationship between your guru and Paul Pena.
So
we were little kids when they were filming Genghis Blues. We were in school.
And at
that time, we had already heard blues. That's the first time that we heard blues when Paul came. So for us as young folks, it was really amazing music, very interesting thing to listen to.
And
then from then on, we would hear from Conger Roll about his work with Paul and what a great musician he was and what that meant. And as students at the music school, we found that this was a great introduction for us about the life of a musician and about the possibilities of music.
жалы хөвжмжлер болгон стазы база ола улуу хөвжмжлернин мындан жалыга узан болдун базы оңунда биз бир альбомдорун да азаттыңар.
And that got us interested into where Paul came from, and we listened to Paul's earlier albums, and that got us interested in a broader world of music.
So what we're going to hear now is Conderall and Paul Pena, essentially a Delta blues musician,
yeah,
who heard throat singing, Tuvan singing over in the States, learned it himself in isolation, and ultimately made that big journey that yourself has made, Sean, and came over to Tuva and became almost an honorary Tuvan. And we're going to hear the two of them working side by side, I think, in this track.
Yeah, it means a whole lot to us because it's one of the first forays into international musical collaboration, which is a tradition that Alash is now proudly continuing into the future 20 years later.
And again, another track that seals that relationship between the humans and their livestock. This is the Good Horses. Fantastic stuff. Kongoro Ondar and Paul Pena and Eki Atar from the album of their epic culture crossing story, the Genghis Blues album, the heritage track choice of our session guests tonight. Tuvan musicians and throat singers and students of Kongoro, Alash, currently on the final leg of an enormous tour just now. And having heard from the man they regard as their musical father, they're going to carry on with their own music now. And this song compares the singer singer's throat to the sounds of the cuckoo and the ediski, a traditional hunting call made by using a piece of folding bark. This is My Throat the Cuckoo. Big grin as they just stop there just before, just to make sure that we're going to catch us out. Alash in session for us here on World on 3, and the Twitter sphere is on fire with this. Who needs the BBC Radiophonic Workshop when you've got sounds like that coming from the human body alone? Sean Quirk, who's their manager and here translating for them tonight. As I said, it's the end of an enormous 10-week tour that's taken you over to the States. It was a very strange sort of core to this tour that actually made it all possible. A combination that in my head seems a bit weird, but actually turned out to be a blessing for you.
Yes, we had the opportunity to play at a festival for a month in Dollywood, down in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee.
As in Miss Parton.
Yes, as in Miss Parton, bringing this music to 20,000 Americans who probably never, ever would have set foot into a Tuvan concert. And once you tell them that what they're listening to is country music, just from a different country, then all of a sudden you find you have gained a lot of converts. So yes, it was a very interesting and wonderful experience to bring that to Tennessee.
And did you meet Dolly?
We did indeed meet Dolly, yes.
Wow.
Within the space of a year, we've actually met the two most famous Dollies in the world. We met Dolly Parton this tour, and the tour beforehand, we had the opportunity to play for His Holiness, the Dalai Lama.
Oh,
so,
boomtish.
Yes, boomtish.
Fantastic. But now I'm sure you're ready to be heading home to a place, as we've said, where it's a nomadic people, the livestock, the big open spaces are really important. And yet where these guys met was music college, where basements and rehearsals would seem like a very strange place to be creating music that belongs to the big open outside.
Well, Tuva is a place where the ancient and the modern exist hand in hand. We like to joke that even though in Tuva you still have people living in yurts and living in the nomadic way, we have cities and we have cars and we have people who are nearly hit by those cars when they're crossing the streets looking at Facebook on their iPhones. So it's a mix, and Alash really sort of encapsulates that mix because they did go to school in the capital city of Tuva, and at the same time as they were seeking to deepen the roots of the music and understand the hold that the music of the ancestors has on them and to make sure they don't lose that, they're also members of their generation and hearing a lot of other music. As Body told us, their interest in the blues coming from Paul Pena, listening to Jimi Hendrix, listening to other musicians, and they've allowed that to subtly play into their music, into the way they make arrangements in order to sort of grow the branches of that tree out towards
so
the future.
So if we were going to be listening out for elements of that, where would we see the Western influence coming into play?
Well, that's a thing that people like to look for a lot, and it's very subtle, which is one of the beautiful things about the way they do it, because they don't just take random things and sort of stick them together. It's organic. In this last song, for instance, you would not hear traditionally in Tuvan music 50 years ago that division of parts where you've got one, the sagut, the high part going very high and the low part going very low, and modulation of keys. So there's stuff, it's there to be listened to, but you have to know what it is you're listening to in the first place to be able to suss out that influence.
Well, we're going to have one more song, and again from another aspect of tradition, and as a man with an Irish heritage himself, there is a great tradition in the Irish language of wordplay and word sparring, and so I'm sure you take great pleasure in introducing this last song.
Yes, this is a song called Bastak Ladej Meni Ganjar, which means what are you going to do with me for joking. It begins and ends with a traditional Tuvan word game or competition of Durgen Juga, which means talking fast, which I think Irish and many Celtic people can very much appreciate. And it's a song that sings about what are you going to do with me for joking. You could hit me on the head with a stick and I won't stop joking, so just put down the stick and listen to the music. And the theme goes on and on with music and singing, etc. So it's a song about love for music and love for having fun. Bashtak the Joker.
Sean and Alash, thank you so much for coming in to play for us tonight.
Let's thank you. Oh,
Alash, officially the best fun it's possible to have on the BBC after midnight. Thanks so much again to the lads, our session guest. You're listening to Marianne Kennedy and World on 3. And, oh, we're going to calm down now. This is BBC Radio 3.